Are we talking
We talking
teams
teams.
back again?
Back again.
Yeah.
Back again.
Back again.
It is
It
what, week
is what?
13, week 14 in the
13
NFL?
NFL?
Something like that. You know, I don't know. With JD Fad or where that motherfucker playing, I don't know. But go ahead. Another week in the NFL, new week in sports, and another show podcast. For Let's Be Clear, it's your man DJ Motormane, my dog Pizzle.
And you know this, man. And we got a plethora of things that we want to talk about this week. Starting out with America's team, or
can we stop saying that shit, man? Can we stop saying that shit? They ain't America's team. These niggas ain't one shit. I was
we already know they ain't America's team, but I love to say it because their fans think they are.
I was 10 years old the last time these motherfuckers won something. I'm 40 years. I'm about to be 41. This team, you don't get the fuck out of here. Nothing say America. Y'all stadium can't even hold up. That shit was just built. Niggas falling down like Mike Tyson's motherfucking back pockets. Get out of here.
So, we might as well start there. The Cowboys' downfall. Where do they go from here? They didn't lose to the Texans last night, 34-10.
They're going to win Sunday, though.
No, don't say that.
Here we go. Didn't I say that about the Eagles? You told me, ain't no way y'all going to punish the Eagles.
The Eagles are a good team, bro. Dallas stinks.
We're not good right now. J.D. Favre is hurt. We talking about the Cowboys. But go ahead. Their downfall started when their defense started getting hurt. And then, you know, when Dak went out, that was it. That was wrap it up, B. And then you realize Dak ain't even try to come back. Dak went to the doctor like we do when you go to urgent care. Urgent care know why you there. You try to get that month. You come on Thursday. You try and get that joke for Thursday and Friday. Had that super long weekend. So Dak went to his doctor and said, hey, something just ain't right with my stuff, man. And then he went from being out for a couple of weeks to the whole season. Dak knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he was seen on TV on the sideline when he got hurt, saying that they suck.
What did he say? We ass or something like that.
Yeah. I think it was at that moment when he figured out, listen, man, my season's over. Why should I come back or rush back to a team where, you know, guys don't look like they want to play? They're in a division that, you know, besides usually one team playing as well as the Commanders have and as well as the Eagles have this season, usually that's a winnable division. But it looks very unwinnable for the Dallas Cowboys. And I just feel like going forward, they might as well go ahead and fire their coach. Go ahead and get rid of McCarthy because it's evident that players on that team don't respect him anymore. And then, you know, what are you waiting for? Really, we know that his contract's up. So at the end of the season, he probably won't be coming back. So, you know, you guys don't have any playoff hopes. You know, your quarterback's done for the year. You just gave him a bunch of money to watch the game from the press box. You know, I don't really see any other reason for them to still invest all of their time and money into this season. I'm not saying they shut it down because, I mean, they can't, but they should start looking towards next year. And I think their first move, which would be their best move, would be to get rid of Mike McCarthy and start looking towards a new head coach.
Now, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in life, and most times in life, right, if someone gets fired, what does the company wait for?
You said if someone gets fired, what does the company do?
What do they wait for? The end of the day, they let your ass work that whole day, and then they fire your ass. then they fire your ass. You gonna work this whole goddamn season, you motherfucker. You gonna work this season, and then I'm gonna fire your ass. Don't think I'm gonna sit through Cooper Rush without your motherfucking ass. No, you gonna sit here and watch this bullshit just like me, Trey Lance. That motherfucker ain't played more than 5 games in 5 seasons. If you don't get the hell up out of here, no, you gonna sit here and watch this bullshit. You helped me build it. You told me who to go get and talking to me about this, that, and the third. We ain't even got a second goddamn receiver. I couldn't even tell you the name of goddamn another receiver on Dallas besides CD Tyrannosaurus Wreckmouth Lamb. That motherfucker mouth was big as shit when he was next to that white girl when she tried to take his motherfucking phone. Boy, could got it. He looked like that motherfucker. Say, got him. Go back and look at that. CD Lamb was terrible. He got the ball, but hey, that motherfucker catch that ball though.
Hey, he got that bread. He got that bread. Yeah. He got that mouth bit.
Yeah, goddamn right. I'd have went to Columbia too. Not just for my mouthpiece and for the mouthpiece. But anyway, yeah, McCarthy gonna watch the end of this shit. Now you gonna sit there, good buddy. Mm-mm. Nope. I'm gonna watch you watch this. And I'm gonna fire your ass. And then you know what it is. Everybody talking about they going to get Deion. If Deion leave Colorado, he a damn fool.
Yeah, I don't think he leaves college football. And if he does, I don't think it would be next year.
Colorado gonna offer Deion whatever the hell. Man, they got every seat full. And you know, I ain't the biggest, you know, Deion fucked up with me, but hey, what he doing up there is crazy. Every seat full. Man, the years before that, shit, you can get a Colorado ticket for a motherfucking a Hot Pocket and a motherfucking half a Slurpee. Shit. Now them motherfuckers 4, 5, 6 Me, he better not leave from motherfucking Colorado. Shit. Now he gonna let Shador go to Dallas, though. He gonna let Shador do that.
Well, I don't even know if Dallas will. Well, yeah, I mean, at this point. But that brings me to a point that we'll touch on later. I don't think they're going to win Sunday. So I really don't see how, you know, it would. That's one of the things. I think it would be in their best interest to get tank. Like, what are you winning for? What are you trying to win games for? You guys stink. So why not go ahead, like I said, plan for the future. Plan to get a higher draft pick. So you can actually draft because, I mean, as much as they do stink, they do draft pretty well. But, you know, the what happens after that drafting is really where they, you know, stink the most. But you get rid of your coach, you get a high draft pick, and then you can possibly go out and get a guy like Shador Sanders or a Cam Ward or maybe even Ewers from Texas, which in my opinion probably would be something that he would go after, a Texas bred quarterback who's actually not the best quarterback in the draft, but you know, Dallas would love him because he's right there in the hometown.
I hear normally what you're saying. He ain't taking him over Shador though.
That's I don't think so either. I think Cam Ward has something to say about where Shador goes.
Who? Cam Ward?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll find out.
Let's move on to breaking down the NFL playoff picture. So in the AFC right now, the Chiefs are the top dogs, even after losing to the Bills. The Chiefs are still 9-1. The Bills are ranked second behind the Chiefs, with the Steelers coming in at number 3, the Texans at number 4, the Chargers, Ravens, and Broncos edging out those wild card positions. And then in the NFC, we have the Lions at number 1. The Eagles at number 2, the Cardinals at number 3, the Falcons at 4, the Vikings, Packers, and Commanders edging out those last 3 wild card spots. So let's start with the NFC. How do you see this playoff picture coming about?
I really don't see too much changing, for real. I really don't see too much changing. Like, the Cardinals on a nice little move. Falcons, Falcons, you don't know what team you're going to get every week. It's like they done fell into something a little different. Kirk's struggling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they're struggling a little to block for him, too. The Vikings got their ups and downs, but I don't see the Packers getting to them. So I really just see it kind of playing out how it is. Now, the Commanders, I know in our last pod, I was half-heartedly joking, but being serious about J.D. Favre as a MVP, I mean, that is over with. I mean, that dude.
Man, tell him how you feel, Pizzle.
He is reading one side of the field, and he can't run right now. I might be able to get him in a race right now. I don't know what's going on. He's playing bad, man. He's playing bad the last couple games. I mean, everybody talked this, that, and the third. If we didn't get a lucky miracle against the Bears, we're 2-4 in the last six games.
Damn.
Two and four.
We talking hypotheticals now? I mean, y'all just lost back-to-back, but y'all ain't terrible. Y'all still got seven wins.
I mean, we was 7-2.
Well, you don't think the Commanders.
And like I said, if we don't get we got a miracle. A miracle to beat the Bears? The Bears? It took a miracle.
We'd have been good, to be honest.
We'd have been, oh, my God. The Bears stink. How many games the Bears won?
They do stink, but I'm saying their defense is pretty good. Look how they played the Packers last week. The Packers had to win by a miracle too.
How's they offense?
Ass.
Yeah, thank you. We almost lost to a dude that painted his nails. So anyway, I'm not. This is what I'm saying about J.D. Favre. He's hurt. They trying to mask that shit. He's hurt. That's what I'm really getting on with him, is let that motherfucker, if they'd have let him rest, just say last game, and we throw out Mariota, however you say his name, he'd have had almost 25 days to heal or something like that, 20 days to heal up. We gonna rush him out there. Then you do dumb shit, like don't kick the field goal. Then you can go up by one, and you call a dumbass motherfucking quarterback sneak. Quarterback draw on third and two. Don't get shit because he can't run. He just curled up. He curled up like a motherfucker knew they was about to get hit and can't beat the motherfucker. He just curled up in the fetal position and take your ass whooping. That's what he did. And then we go for it on fourth and two. Come on, man. Instead of kicking the field goal, we know what time it is, man. Come on, bro. He's hurt. Just make sure he's all right. Then he go on stage with Wale. Come on.
I did see that.
Come on, man. Then he look goofy up there. He can't even dance. What young nigga you know can't dance? They grew up in the dancing era. Everything is a dance. TikTok this. Oh, man. I don't even want to get started.
So, let's do it. You know, basically, you're saying you don't really see any movement.
Until he's healthy.
Well, what about edging out the Packers? You guys are only behind them in the standings for the playoff position. I mean, when we're talking about the division that the Commanders are in, you have... the Eagles, who are at the top, that y'all have one L2, and then you have Dallas. I mean, what's not to make up there? Like, I honestly see the Commanders being able to get possibly out of that seventh spot into maybe a 6 or 5 position if they could just take care of business in the division.
I hope you're right. I just don't see it from what we've been playing like the last couple of weeks. Well, actually, we played pretty good against y'all. And I ain't even going to get started on how I feel about the Pittsburgh game. But we played all right against y'all. But that shit we did with the Eagles, I mean, yeah, people say what they want, but he looked like trash in particular. The fact that McLaurin only had two targets.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
After the way he dogged Porter, Porter looked like a high school motherfucking DB out there.
All right, not too much on my boy.
Did he not? You said the same damn shit.
He was getting cooked. He was.
I'm he looked saying. Like a sex slave out there.
I gotta defend my boy a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Hold on, I lost you for a second. What'd you say?
Nah, I just said he looked like a sex slave out there, man. But I mean, maybe Dallas is what we needed, and I just hope Michael Parsons don't go in there and do nothing too crazy. That's who really worries me. But other than that, we could possibly make up a spot, maybe. I don't know. The Packers playing pretty good, though.
The Packers are playing pretty good, but I'm
The Vikings on the job like a little. Sam Darnold coming. He's coming back to earth. Pause a little bit.
Y'all still 3-2 in y'all last five. I mean, and Dallas is coming off of a terrible performance. I don't understand why you think y'all would lose to them. I mean, even if JD5 is still hurt, and somehow, some way, he makes it through this Dallas game without being more injured. I don't see how you guys don't come out with the win against Dallas, but that's just me. And then, you know, looking at the rest of y'all's schedule, you have what? Dallas, Tennessee, New Orleans, Philly, and Atlanta, your next five games. I mean, I'm looking at, like, at least y'all going 4-1 at the worst, 3-2. In this next five, and y'all would end the season with Dallas. I mean, you get a second crack at Philly. Pause. You know, the Titans aren't a good team. New Orleans really not a good team. And Atlanta, like you said, that's a team that you know, you don't know which team you're going to get.
New Orleans going to put up 365 yards of offense against
them. Hell no. With who? They don't even got nobody. Taysom Hill.
What he do? He went monkey this weekend, didn't he?
That was against the Browns, and they're dreaded.
Their defense might be better.
They're dreadful.
Here we go.
Don't make no excuses for them. That team, they're dreadful.
You just hate the Browns.
I do, but I'm just anyway, saying.
You ever heard? You was around when that song came out called "Welcome to DC."
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we are mentally, physically, and emotionally scarred until it is that we're not scarred, sir. So until further notice, until we see something different, it is going to be the same old. We've lost to Cooper Rush before. We know what it's like. Yes,
I mean, look, I feel for you too, because we lost to this Dallas team with Dak early in the season. And every time I see them lose, it pisses me off all over again. It's like, this team sucks.
That wasn't a bad loss, though. The Cowboys was all right at that time.
Yeah, but they still are a bad team.
I told you. I ain't going to do that. Go ahead.
We should have won that game. It wasn't like the.
Y'all are the luckiest fucking team. Y'all are the luckiest fucking team in the NFL. The shit is going to run out in the motherfucking playoffs. Anyway, I'm not getting into it. You want me to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, no, it's cool because we gotta go into the AFC. We gotta go into the AFC.
I don't want to hear none of that bullshit. Y'all some lucky motherfuckers. That camel, that the rabbit foot gonna come out y'all ass eventually. Y'all keep sneaking away with these goddamn games. Y'all gonna end up just like the Chiefs.
Our defense, bro.
Y'all defense some shit,
bro. You see what we just did to one of the highest scoring offensive teams in the league, right there.
I wasn't impressed with y'all defense when y'all.
They couldn't do shit.
I could
to
I
the point run. Where they start second guessing themselves, nigga. They ran a power option with no options with Lamar Jackson, and usually that's enough to scare niggas, but not against us. We've shown them out of six games that he's played. He's been here longer than that. Six games that he's played, he's only beat us once. So wasn't nobody scared of the big bad wolf when it came to the highest scoring offensive team in the league, Lamar Jackson MVP. Or MVP, whatever you want to call him. He wasn't coming here with that bullshit. And we showed it. I mean, look, they put Derrick Henry in that backfield, single back, and decided, oh, we ain't going to block TJ Watt. And what'd he do? Put him on his ass. And yeah, our offense couldn't get it together this week. What do we do? Boswell kicked the shit out of the ball. So
TJ that Watt ain't luck. TJ Watt still play. He still plays defense.
Come on, man.
I didn't even know he was still in the way he played against the Commanders. I didn't know he was still.
You know why he played like that against the Commanders? Y'all niggas put a straight jacket on him. Hey, y'all had a whole detail to make sure that he was chipped before he was chipped and after he was chipped.
That's called smart football, sir. That's what you call that, smart football. I did that in high school. We did that in high school against a little fella named Darnell Dockett. We had Dockett counter, Dockett catch. We had Dockett, and we had his own plays, the whole play.
Hey, that is smart football. If you can neutralize the game record, then you're doing something right.
Yeah.
You know. Fate just wasn't on y'all side with staying ready on the defensive end. That rook, somebody got to coach his ass up and tell him to stop jumping at the hard cadence. But we'll talk about the AFC since we're on. With the Chiefs at the top, the Bills, Steelers, Texans, Chargers, Ravens, Broncos. You see any movement with that by the season end?
Well, the Texans going to win their division. Maybe the Ravens getting the Chargers.
Yeah, because Texans basically will win their division.
Yeah, so they going to get that anyway. I just don't know if the Bills can walk KC.
Yeah, I know. You know, historically, the Bills are regular season champions. And then when it comes to the postseason, the Chiefs kick their ass.
Yeah. Bills built a little different this year, though. But I don't know. We'll see. They're another team. Until you really see it, you don't know what to believe with them. Y'all going to stay where y'all at.
I see it
playing out pretty much how it is. I might see the Ravens getting the Chargers.
I like that. I feel like Chiefs are pretty much set. I do feel like the season with our schedule, the Steelers schedule is trending in the direction that the Steelers could possibly be playing on Christmas for the biggest gift of all, and that's home field advantage and possibly a first-round bye. Because if – let's take your words for it. If we keep our rabbit's foot in our back pocket and do not lose until we see the Chiefs, that could possibly be a game for the first – number one seed in AFC. Now, worst case scenario, I'm thinking because we mostly AFC North teams that we have to face. We do play the Eagles before the Chiefs. I could see us possibly moving down a little bit. I don't see us moving down under the Texans. I mean, I think maybe another loss or two might not fare well for us in the standings. I do think the Ravens will upend the Chargers, and it'll be, you know, kind of close again in the AFC North. The Broncos, I think, have one of the easier schedules, so I don't really see any movement with them. As long as they can win out, they should possibly get that last wild card spot. But Ravens Chargers is a Monday night game, so that's playoff implications right there. And then, you know, I really don't see anybody catching the Chiefs. The Bills and the Steelers are the closest to that. You know, the schedules just don't line up for that to happen, in my opinion. Now, we're trending towards it, but I don't. It would be hard pressed to say that we would go undefeated until Christmas. It's just too many games. Like, we play Thursday night. That's a trap game. Thursday night in Cleveland, that's a trap game.
Now, you just told me again. Cleveland is hot garbage.
They are. But how the hell
is that a trap game?
The same way you just said y'all would lose to the Cowboys. They're terrible. It's a conference game. It's a division game. You know, divisional teams see each other more than once. So they know more
the
about
Cowboys
the teams
have
than
a
the
history
other
of beating us. It's not the same way for
oh, but
Cleveland.
They're ass. Mm. They're not the Cowboys
I
that
just
beat
told
y'all
you
34
we've lost
points
to Cooper Rush
last season.
Before. Anytime Cooper Rush is in, that should be a W. I don't give a fuck who what team it is.
It should be. And this weekend I think it'll be no different. I think y'all will get that done.
Well, I'll be there, so I'll be the judge of this.
All right. So since we're talking about the Commanders, let's talk about offensive rookie of the year. Do you think it will be Bo Nix or do you think it will be J.D. Five? And just to throw out some stats for you, they're currently kind of neck and neck. They're by each other in the stats. Dayton Daniels is got 2,338 passing yards. Bo Nix has 2,275. Jaden Daniels with the better yards per attempt with 8. Bo Nix with 6.4. Bo Nix has thrown the ball more times with 357 attempts. And Jaden Daniels has the better completion percentage. It fizzled down from his whopping 80%. Down to a 68.7. Bo Nix has more touchdowns at 14, but Jaden Daniels has the least amount of interceptions with 3, with the higher QB rating of 99.6. What say you on the offensive rookie of the year? Yeah, I mean, who do you think is going to win it? Not even just right now. Who do you think is going to win it?
I mean, this is easy. If my man back in what 91 didn't hurt himself, he'd have been the greatest running back of all time. Mr. Jackson, that is. We're gonna go with Bo Nix. It's not even close. Bo is playing way better than Jaden Daniels right now. It's not even close. Bo Nix is the offensive player of the year.
Damn, you can't even back your man on this.
I ain't even say offensive player, rookie.
Offensive rookie. Yeah.
I ain't mean to say dog because the motherfuckers might take it the wrong way. But
no, I knew what you meant.
Jaden, it's been terrible. Terrible. If Mariota is in, we beat either Pittsburgh or we honestly, Pittsburgh game might go the same way. If he's in, we beat the Eagles.
You felt like, yeah, because I was about to say, you felt like that in a Pittsburgh game. He played well. I mean, he didn't play well the whole game, but he played. Your man McLaurin torched, you know, half that damn game. So I feel like that was partly because of J.D.
He played better in the Pittsburgh game. I don't know if y'all heard him. I reheard him. But he played better in the Pittsburgh game than he did the Philly game. The Philly game, listen. We was up 7-3 so long. I mean, we had so many opportunities. This nigga was throwing shit at people's legs. I mean, he was terrible. Terrible. Every time he go to the bench, they putting something on his fucking rib and doing this, that. And I mean, it's, get him the fuck out of there. You got to do all that shit. Get him out and don't play until he's healthy. Come on, man. I can see why Dan Quinn blew the fucking Super Bowl.
I blame the coaching too. I mean, I think that you got to be more aware of your star player, especially when at the quarterback position. But I'm going to actually go with J.D. Five on the offensive rookie of the year. I don't
You just
think,
trying to get under my skin. Go ahead.
I don't think Well, oh, for one, I'm not really a fan of Bo Nix either. So, you know, I'm hating a
Bo
little
Nix
bit the fact that he's playing. He's playing. I know. He's like 40 years old. I'm hating a little bit at the fact that he's playing so well now. But I'm not surprised because, you know, as much as I like to take shots at Sean Payton, you know, the guy is an offensive guru. And you know, that team wasn't horrible. I mean, you seen what they were, what they looked like in the beginning of last season versus what they looked like at the end of last season with quote unquote declining Russell Wilson. So I think Ed and Bo Nix, you know, gave that locker room some life on the offensive side. I do see them playing better offensively. But, like, I'm not really sold on that four touchdown performance he had last week against Atlanta. That doesn't necessarily point towards him trending up as a 3 to 4 touchdown guy every week. I mean, you know, I don't think he's evolving as a pass thrower, but I think with the way the season should play out, I think Jaden Daniels will solidify the Rookie of the Year offensively because of who he'll have to beat and the teams that he'll be playing. You know, like I said, you guys see the Eagles again. Whether or not you win that second game doesn't necessarily matter if he plays well. As far as this act award goes. And then, you know, like I said, you guys have the Titans, you have the Saints, you have the Cowboys this week. Like, come on, man. I really think this goes to Jaden Daniels in the end. But, you know, he's got to get the pads off of his fucking ribs.
Man, they got to fucking start going back to spreading the ball around and getting everybody involved. It's like he's looking for one or two motherfuckers, and then that's it. We didn't have a wide receiver catch the ball until the third quarter.
Yeah, and that can't happen.
Our best player was Austin Ekeler.
Yeah, he was running like a man possessed. So yeah. since we're you know talking about this, how do the Commanders get back on track? You know, coming off the back to back losses, JD5 playing hurt, and then you know you guys have, I think, ranked on the I think it was a Sharp, I forget where I got this information, I'll update that later, but ranked 28
Sharp from 22 Jumper.
No, it's the Sharp's website for better. So you guys were ranked 28th in strength of schedule, with the Falcons and the Eagles being your toughest remaining games, and then the Titans, the Cowboys, and the Saints left being the easiest opponents you have left. How do you see the Commanders getting back on track?
If we're going offensive, well, I actually, no bullshit, I actually think defensive-wise we've been playing all right. The Philly game, I mean, we held Philly so long that with the turnovers and shit, the defense just got tired and eventually just something had to happen. So, and then I guess, yeah, I feel like we played pretty well on defense. We gave us certain plays, but other than that, you know what I'm saying? We played pretty well. Offense going to have to speed it up. To me, that's how we moved on offense early. We speeded the game up. Used multiple wide receivers. I think McCaffrey needs to get into the game a little bit more. I think some of our little young tight ends need to get involved more. But definitely speed the game up and kind of come with some misdirection type shit. Right now, we're kind of stagnant because if I just had to guess, when we have Robinson healthy, I would say our first down call to him is probably about 75% we're going to run the ball on first down. That's a little too predictable for me. But like I said, that's just me off the top of my head, just being a fan and watching. That's not statistically a stat. But yeah, just speed it up. Get everybody more involved. And then find ways to move McLaurin. He ain't always got to be the X or the Y. Let him be the L, the R. Fuck, put his ass in the backfield sometimes. Just move his ass around. Make sure he touches the ball. I feel like they don't use him as often as they should. He could do multiple different things. To me, he's a good number two receiver in the NFL. You know, but he's our best receiver. So use him. I just don't think we involve him as much as we should. So, And then with Brian Robinson, like, listen, he another one. He always hurt now, too. Every game you see, he hurt. I don't understand what is going on out here. And I know it's the NFL, and you know what I'm saying? You get hit week by week. But, God damn, nigga, you just got back. You was off for 2 weeks. Shit. You ain't played the two most damn near important games. I mean, so I don't know, man. They just got. I don't know if it's something in Jaden's head. I don't know what it is, but you can't tell me that motherfucker ain't hurt. So this rib shit, he had the same rib issue in LSU. So I don't know. I don't know what it is, but for me, like I said, I'd have sat his ass against Philly after I seen the way he was playing. I'd have just put Murray over there. We had what was that, 10 or 11 days in between that game and the Dallas game. So I don't know. If you'd have sat him after the Pittsburgh game, that's almost 2 weeks. But then again, like I said, he played decent against Pittsburgh. Against Philly, though, that motherfucker was reading one side of the field and just basically just curling up, chilling. I don't know. I know Philly secondary is supposed to be all right, but I didn't think they was like that.
Well, I think that, you know, to kind of piggyback on what you said, I do think that you have to get your star receiver some touches, whether that means ending a round or whether that means moving them around. And then I agree with you. You know, Brian Robinson, the health of him is key. And I think, you know, what you guys are going to have to get back to is rushing that ball. You know, in one of the best games y'all guys had this season against what is now the number one team in the NFC West, you guys had over 216 yards on the ground. And I know some of that was Jaden Daniels, but a lot of it was Brian Robinson and Jeremy Nichols. You know, you didn't have Austin Eckler for that game, but still, to have that rushing attack that you guys had and then balance it out with 233 yards in the air, I think that's how you guys need to play. You know, I think you guys got a little bit away from that, especially in the game against us. Things didn't really go so well with the run, and it was abandoned. But nevertheless, in the second half, you guys threw the shit out of the ball and almost won that game. And I think that's what you guys are going to have to get back to get back on track. The Commanders, while they have a dynamic quarterback, I think that's one of the things that has to be utilized a little bit more. Controlling the clock, you know, running the ball a little bit more effectively. Obviously, you don't want to just run the first down and then have, you know, long third downs where you guys have to go for it on fourth down, because prior to that Steelers game, you had a perfect fourth down conversion record, and then, you know, that fizzle and the downward spiral of that continued in the Philly game, because they were again put in a situation where they had a long third and goal, and, you know, they said, fuck it, are we going to go for it again on fourth down? So I think not putting yourself in bad position when it comes to having those third and longs or having to go for it on fourth down and not having an obvious play call either, because, like you said, on that goal line play where he curled up like in a fetal position, I think it has to be better play calling in those situational parts of the game. But getting back on track, to me, for the Commanders, involves opening up that rush, whether you're adding some RPOs in there, whether you're subbing out Brian Robinson and bringing in Jeremy Nichols, whether you're, you know, using a two-headed monster, Eckler and Robinson, a little bit more effectively. I do think that the rush definitely has to be thrown back in there for the Commanders to get back on track. Help the young guy out. Help JD5 out, man. He hurt.
Well, he need to help his damn show.
So let's see here. The Steelers gauntlet schedule. Is it trouble or treasure with the next five games?
What is the gauntlet schedule, please? Please run this gauntlet down to me.
All right, so what I mean by gauntlet is the games that they have left with the degree of difficulty, with the percentage of them winning or losing, and also it being a gauntlet because of when they have to play these games. They play their next five at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, home against the Browns, at Philly, and at Baltimore before the playing the Chiefs on Christmas. And might I add, those last three games, they play within 11 days of each other. They play Baltimore 4 days before playing the Chiefs on Christmas, and they see the Browns twice in 2 weeks. They play the Browns in Cleveland this Thursday night, travel to Cincinnati next Sunday, and turn around and play the Browns again the following week. So it's a very tough schedule for the Steelers. And do you think it'll be trouble or do you think it'll be treasure?
So basically, y'all play the last three games of the season. Basically, is what you're saying.
You said we play the last three games of the season?
Basically, that's it. Because the other three games is bullshit. So y'all play the last three games of the season. You play Cleveland.
Well, technically, it's four games because we got one more Cincinnati game at the end of the season. But the Chiefs are the Christmas game, so that's highlighted because that's the game before the last game of the season. Right, because we did not see any – the Baltimore game this past weekend was our first AFC North divisional game. We have not seen any other divisional opponent yet. So this gauntlet of the AFC North sprinkling in Philly and the Chiefs starts this Thursday night.
So y'all basically got four easy wins, and then we'll talk about the other three pretty much.
I mean, if you want to.
You're the one that just told me that Cleveland is ass.
I did, brother, but I'm still going to lean on the side that anything happens in the division. Just because the Cincinnati Bengals are out of playoff contention don't mean they're going to lay down and lose to us.
So J-Boo might throw for 350 on y'all.
No, J-Boo going to throw a couple interceptions. I know that.
He still might throw for 350.
He possibly will. He possibly will.
I guess that's secondary. Good God almighty, Ike might be throwing for 230 on y'all. But anyway, that schedule don't sound too crazy to me. Now, them three games, what was that? The Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Ravens?
Yeah. All right, and then let me add a caveat to that. The Eagles is December 15th. The Baltimore Ravens is December 1st, and then Kansas City on Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, hey, man, listen, we played y'all. We played the Eagles 4 days after we played y'all. I hear what you're saying, though. That's a motherfucker. It's tough. That's tough. But the good thing is y'all got four bye weeks.
Four bye weeks. Yeah, you back?
Yeah, my bad. On a serious note, y'all probably take care of Cleveland something special. I think after last week, I think they're officially done then. You can see it in their body language a little bit towards the end of that game. Cincinnati is tough just because they got weapons and shit, but they're going to be another.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week. Joe Burrow's playing MVP-ish, even though his team stinks.
But that's the thing is who going to say fuck it at what time? You know what I'm saying? So they might just be in fuck it mode and just like, hey, you know, we're going to pack it up in. I don't know. Some teams get like that and some don't. So we just have to see. I think Cincinnati will really be a key to, you know, how some of y'all season go. Because, like you said, one is divisional. Two, they definitely got weapons. And see how that go. That three-game gauntlet, a bitch, that is tough. And you know the Ravens going to be looking. They going to be looking to put something up in y'all. So I think y'all handle the Chiefs. I ain't necessarily sold on the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. So, I mean, you always got to worry about them. But, I mean, it ain't like the Chiefs of the past where you like, damn, how the fuck are we going to beat these motherfuckers? You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't the same Chiefs. It, you know, but you still got to put respect on their name. But yeah, this ain't the Chiefs that, you know, with Tyreek Hill and everybody else, you know, even though I think completely healthy, I think they could have some things going, you know, if they had Pacheco back, even though Kareem Hunt running.
Yeah. And Pacheco actually can come back this week.
Yeah, and then you got Juju, if Juju do his thing, and then you got
Hopkins. For my fantasy hopes.
Right.
For my fantasy playoff hopes, I hope that Pacheco does come back
right
and plays well.
And then you got Hopkins, you know what I'm saying? So everybody could chip in and do a little piece, you know, that might end up being all right. I always like to see when Juju does something good, you know what I'm saying? Because I felt like where he was before, he just wasn't appreciated enough. So I really like, you know, Juju come out and do his thing a little bit.
He played for the Patriots. If you're talking about the
No,
Patriots,
I ain't talking about them. You know,
so that's who I think you're talking about, because, you know, when he played here, he was appreciated, but you know, he also played with a dwindling Ben Roethlisberger who couldn't throw the ball 15 yards without it fucking pummeling down to the ground. So
the Raiders.
I honestly think, like I said, I see these last four games, or I'll even just sum it up to December. I see December being a month that we must come out on the win column.
We
must come out with more wins than losses in December, because obviously it affects our playoff picture, where we play at. And I would love to see this team, you know, at 8 wins right now. I'd love to see them get to 11, at least 11 wins. But also have the opportunity to play a playoff game here in Pittsburgh, because it's been a very long time since that happened. You know, that's not to say it guarantees us playoff success, but just for the sake of, you know, getting this fan base riled up some more, and you know, showing us that, you know, they can overachieve, because we were only set to win a 7-8 games this season. Everybody counted us out. Everybody thought that the Steelers would be the fourth team in the AFC North. You know, oh, how what a tangled web we weave. Now we are sitting first in the AFC North division, with the likelihood of holding on to that spot. And possibly the next time we see Baltimore, it really being for some marbles. So, you know, I don't know if we may be in a position that they were in last year, where we may be sitting guys in that second play. I mean, AFC North game. But I kind of doubt that. One, because of the magnitude of that game, and two, because of the fact that we play the Chiefs the following week. So I do think, you know, as long as we continue to play some good football, I like to see us go 4-1 in December. I would love to see us go 5-0 in December, but I wouldn't be surprised if one of these games we lost, I could see it either being on Christmas, on the 21st at Baltimore, or on the 15th in Philly. Those would be, out of those five games we play in December, those are the three that make me worry a little
bit. Yeah, for sure. I can see that. It makes sense.
Moving right along. Is it actually time to start paying attention to the NBA yet? You know, it's football season still going on. College football season is still among us. We got this 12-team college football playoff that, you know, everybody is chomping at the bit to watch. And we got college basketball coming back as well. So what do you think? Is it really time for us to start paying attention to the NBA? Or is it still too early?
I mean, I always pay attention to the NBA, even when the NFL is on, just to kind of get a feel for, you know, who is what and, you know, and what's going on, what players is making, you know, some improvements, things like that. Now, is it full blown NBA season for me? No. But I definitely, you know, pay attention to enough to know, you know, if I had to, could I talk about something? You know what I mean? And like I said, just knowing certain things like the 76ers are trash. Paul George is very overrated. Just things like that. Actually, the fact that Norman Powell said it's addition by subtraction before the season even started, and the Clippers are actually better without Paul George. But anyway, I digress.
That's crazy. That's really crazy.
And Norman Powell's actually.
Because it's also been without the Claw. He ain't played a lick of games yet.
Exactly. And Norman Powell is dropping like almost 25 a game at this point. Crazy, man. So, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely time to watch it. It's still so early to where you really can't like put your foot on it exactly, but you better believe that some GMs and shit are looking around right now. And like, yo, something might have to shake. Philly, for as early as it is, something might have to shake. And I don't think it's Embiid, so because it's not looking good out there. The Bucks are just starting to try to win. That relationship, well, I hate saying relationship, but you know what I'm saying. That partnership between Lillard and Giannis just doesn't look. Even though I don't think Middleton is playing yet, but still, that shit don't look good. If you got those two, you should be winning.
You should, but that team is old.
I don't give a fuck if they old, young.
I mean, and I'm not even just talking about your two players. I'm talking about your two star players. I'm talking about the nucleus, the role players. I mean, they maybe got like three guys that you could consider role players that are young, and two of them are guards. So, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose of, you know, having a young core, especially when it comes to playoff time. But historically, when we're talking about the Bucks, I mean, talk about a bad start. Like, these guys have never started off the season and not been in the top conversation. I mean, they're usually winning a lot of games very early in the season, and it just kind of, you know, continues to go that way through the rest of towards the rest of the season. Whereas now they're trying to figure out how to even play together. This is what, the second season we get to see Giannis and Dame, and you know, people thought that this was going to be matrimony in heaven. You know, to be honest, I never really thought it was going to be that great. Granted, it sounds great on paper because you got Dame, who's one of the best shooters, not the best, but one of the best shooters in our time. And then you got Giannis, who's one of the best big men or just players, period, in the league. So, yeah, I mean, on paper, it sounded like it should work, and this team should, Dame should put them over the top. But, I mean, we've seen that's not working. And then, you know, you add a veteran coach like Doc Rivers. I thought his ass was done. So why the hell they brought him back? Like, he was terrible before he retired. Before he went back to broadcasting, he was terrible. So, you know, I don't understand why they thought, like, oh, we're going to get Doc Rivers and now we'll be a better team. No, that, like, it's Doc Rivers. Part of the problem is Doc Rivers. But, you know, just to talk about the whole NBA. Right. I do think that with the addition of this NBA Cup tournament, I do think it has brought more eyes to the NBA regular season to start. But me personally, I don't give a fuck about the NBA right now. I mean, this is the thick of the NFL season. This is the thick of the NCAA season, where, you know, Heisman hopefuls are coming into fruition. And, you know, we're starting to see who could possibly be the NCAA champ at the end of the year. And that also brings me to something we can touch on after this, but the NBA has a lot of parity right now. You got your boy Embiid not wanting to play back-to-back games ever anymore. You got PG being added to that team, and I almost forgot that he was on that team because, you know, he's only played, what, one game, I think?
Nah, he played more than that.
Well, one game that seems to be relevant. And then you got, you know, the Lakers, who I follow because of LeBron James. But then the biggest story really is the saga of Bronny James. The fact that this kid who, you know, if we would just want to call a spade, is in the league because of nepotism. He's been moved to the G League, and he's only playing G League home games. I don't see the reason for that. And then I seen, I don't know if it might have been fake news, but I seen that the G League team had actually waived Bronny James. I didn't know that they could do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was true, because what the hell? Like, why is he playing for the G League team and he's only playing home games? That makes no sense to me. And then him signing the contract to be a part of the actual team but not having the talent right now to actually compete for a role position, it's laughable. But I do – there are a couple of things that got my eyes open about the NBA right now, and that's the Celtics possibly repeating. The Cavaliers are undefeated right now, which, you know, was a series in the Eastern Conference that was pretty electric, except for the fact that the Celtics blew them away. They only won one game, I think. And then the other fact that my man Ant-Man over there in the West Coast, the Western Conference, has been shooting the ball pretty well to start the season, and them adding Julius Randle and them looking like still a playoff contender. That's the only parity that I've technically paid attention to. But for me, it's a negative. I'm not really worried about the NBA right now. And to keep it even more, the NBA Cup was very intriguing last year. I need more games, or I guess more parity, to be really excited about it this year. I'm not really into it because it kind of seems like, even though the players wanted that money, they don't really give a damn about the NBA Cup. It's all about the Larry O'Brien at the end of the day still.
I'm going to try to be very calm about this. Let's talk about little Bronny. His bitch ass, his sorry ass. You know why he get all that shit. Because of daddy, man. Come on, man. They tell me, oh, he sold out the G League game. Did you see where they played at? Come on, man. They played at Aunt P's. It was 12 people in that joint. Yeah. The Bama had 4 points.
You said he had 4 points.
4 points. 4 points. Come on, man. He is trash, bro. We all know that his daddy and what's it called got him that contract, Maverick or whatever the hell his name is. They got him that contract. He's hot garbage. And then when you mention that he sucks, here come the bronze sexuals. How can you say he sucks? He has to develop. He could be a key piece to. If he's ever a key piece to the Lakers, it's a very different season than they want to have. He looks like. I mean, I could go to some motherfucking high school jumps out here. Now, obviously, we play in the best place there is to play high school basketball. But I could find probably 10 kids that would dog his ass right now, and they're seniors in high school, if not juniors in high school. I don't know, man. I don't. Bronny, that shit is cute. And somebody said to me, you know, it's a business decision, and he has one of the highest jerseys. Okay. And like I said before, so did Linsanity. And he's playing.
Yeah, but Linsanity was playing out of his mind.
I get it, but we was just talking about business-wise. But he was. But Linsanity right now is playing in, you know, Okawaka Oko. You know what I'm saying? That Bam is playing in Taiwan or somewhere. I don't know. But anyway, but yeah, Bronny, I think the NBA does have priority at this point.
Yeah, it does.
Now, what do they lack? They lack a couple of things to me. A full-blown, full-out superstar. Now, you have guys that are, like, right there superstars. So, like, Gildress. I would have said he was on his way to be a superstar. Right now, he's a star. Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to consider Brunson.
Yeah, I know. That's funny you say that. Because, I mean, he set the league on fire in the playoffs last year. I mean, I feel like maybe we, and not just you and I, but maybe we should be talking about him more when it comes in terms of, like, being a face of the league, or even not a face of the league, but, you know, a superstar. And I don't think he's quite there yet, but I agree with you. You know, he's one of the guys mentioned when you think about the NBA right now.
Yeah, it's not. And there's the thing is, too, is there's a lot of players in the league right now. And I can't say I know the NBA like I did 10 years ago. I can't say that. It's a lot of dudes you look up and you like, damn, who in the fuck is this? But he's averaging 19, 20 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dang, I ain't gonna lie. I didn't even know this motherfucker was in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know. It feel like the NBA, I ain't, you know. And at a certain point, I think we got a little spoiled again, because, you know, we got spoiled with the Jordan era, even though for real, we was just like the later part of the Jordan era, somewhat, but not, well. But and then we got blessed with, you know, with LeBron and Melo and all that shit. And even like right before that, we got blessed with like Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Allen Iverson, mm-hmm. You know, Kobe Bryant. So it was always like those next people to take over. And it was right. Like, and maybe because the players play a little bit longer now, that it's because, like, LeBron, if he played two decades ago, he's not playing right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's almost like, dang, you're still kind of living out Jordan with the Wizards right now. You know what I'm saying? Only, I ain't going to try to do that, LeBron, even though, you know, I'm not a huge fan. But obviously he's still balling, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm just saying, like, it's those later years, and we're not used to players playing that long. So it's almost like you don't really draw to the next man up. So
right.
And then it's like, you know, with Ja being out, and even now, even this season, like, you seen Ja do like the little turnaround jumps, and I think he had maybe like one dunk. Other than that, Ja like been a little quiet for Ja Morant.
Yeah.
He's hurt, you know, quite frequently. I mean, and then the rise of the foreigner, not to be funny.
No, for real. I mean, look at Wemby.
Yeah, Wemby. Luka. Joker. Giannis.
Yep, Giannis.
Shit, Shea, he from fucking Canada.
Yeah, true.
And people don't think that means something, but it definitely means something.
It does.
And then
you look around at, like, you know, American-born superstars in the league right now, you have to look at it's pretty slim. When we're talking about going up against these guys, because, I mean, all the guys you just named are pretty much, I mean, look, you got MVP, a two-time MVP, one guy. You know, the other guy has just went to the NBA Finals for his first time, and he's been, you know, a perennial dick ride for a lot of the media since he's came in. And then who else did we name? Shai Gilgeous is on fire. He's looking projected to be have a possible MVP season this year. So, you know,
it's going to be hard to get Joke out of that zone. He's averaging almost a triple double right now.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. He SGA was leading MVP votes like maybe half of the season last year, and then it was like a sweep.
Yeah,
then it was like a sweep. He didn't get one vote, I think. I think he might have got maybe one vote.
He should have won that shit last year. But my thing is, too, and then also this. I think, you know, I'm not one to really, like, on some serious shit, like, really be on some racist type shit or some race type shit. But my thing is this, right? Think about this. When is the last time as a black man, and yes, I'm biracial, but I am a black man, right? When is the last time have you heard a black man say, my favorite NBA player is a white man?
Shit. Larry Bird.
Maybe Dirk.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Dirk. But there wasn't, I feel like there was more people that would have said another player than Dirk. Black men, I'm talking about.
Really? Like who? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, but my thing is, it's like, what? And he can ball.
Because Kobe Bryant was around then. So.
Yeah, but.
And I'm not saying that Dirk wasn't. I'm not saying Dirk wasn't like that and he wasn't some black young men's favorite player at the time. But I think a lot more people at that time, if you're talking about Dirk in his prime, Dirk had to face Kobe a lot then. I think a lot of people would have said.
I get that. Okay. And Bird had to face Roland.
Imagine. And then he ended up having to face Jordan.
Right. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, as much as good as Joker is right now, because I don't give a fuck what nobody say. Joker's the best player in the NBA right now. How many people are saying, oh, that's my favorite player?
Mm.
It's hard for right now for people to see to me, and it's just me. I could be totally wrong. I don't have any analytics. I think during that time when the NBA kind of made their next jump and the ratings was crazy, which I think was about like 10 to 12 years ago, was athletic young black men that were kind of wearing what they wanted, but just kind of changed into like they had to wear suits and all that shit to come in.
Yeah, they had to do.
Yeah, like, well, don't say Iverson era because he really never was the face of the league.
He wasn't, but I think he had.
He was very popular. Yes, he was
very popular. But I was about to say, I think he had some of the biggest impact on what people wore because he didn't give a fuck about wearing suits and shit. He was wearing do-rags, you know, big clothes, jerseys, and shit like that.
Yeah.
It carried over with the younger players, with your LeBrons, with your Kobe's, with your D Wade's and all of those other guys to where even fucking Tim Duncan was wearing the grandma jeans and shit like that. Like he wasn't.
Well, he still wears those, but him and Michael Jordan forgot the motherfucking memo. But yeah, I think because of those times, I think that young African American men. Young black American men, because I don't, it's not a whole lot of us from Africa. But young black American men they're not jacking it, as they would say in New York. They're not feeling that shit for the rest of the world. Jacking is like feeling something, whatever. But they're not feeling that shit. And it's like they almost don't know how to like Joker is almost a step back to the late 80s, 90s type of basketball player, even though he can step out and shoot the tray. But like it's like a lot of players don't know how to deal with that shit. Like it's almost they look at the Denver Nuggets as like boring. Like it's like the Denver Nuggets or the old Utah Jazz.
Uh-huh.
But people talk
They
about Utah,
win, but like nobody really gives a fuck.
Right. Yeah. And this is like,
except for the Denver fans.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And that's like your boy say, he didn't even want to stay around for the motherfucking, you know, throw candy at people and shit. He wanted to go the fuck home. But I could be wrong, Mo, but I just think that that's the disconnect right now. And I think so bad we were trying to force Ja down people's throat, Paul. And then the gun shit happens.
Yeah.
And then it happens again. And then he gets hurt. Then he comes back and has a little bit of. And then
no problem.
He's hurt again. And it's just like, I got to get ready to take my son to the dentist in like 20 minutes. But then he's hurt again. And then it's just like, it's like, who is going to be that next star for Americans? And say, yeah, this is who we follow now. This is who's going to step up and be that dude. And this is like, I forgot who it was talking about it. Like they wanted to see, the NBA change up their All-Star game, but like stop selecting and all that shit and go back to, even though they didn't say go back to. Remember a long time ago, they were doing like, I hate
the captains and shit.
Well, no, when they did like, the USA versus everybody else.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So like go back to that. And this is like, if you really did that, like,
we might get our ass whipped.
Spiky. You talking about Luka, Joker, Giannis,
SGA?
I mean, bruh.
Yeah, them is some of the top guys in the league right now, and they definitely whoop ass.
Then you start to look at the USA team, and this what really kind of
you put Wimby on that motherfucker.
Yeah, Wimby. Then you start to look at the USA team and think about this: LeBron got to stop. 39
year old LeBron. That's crazy.
Dame probably going to stop.
He's 30 something.
He's 36, 35.
Oh, and wait, the other team got Giannis too.
Yeah, I said Giannis. Yeah. I mean, you start to look at the USA team, it's like,
it's slim pickings. Like, you got Anthony Edwards who could possibly be in that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got, you know, I mean, Steph Curry, but he's also old too.
37. Mm-hmm.
So like that's the issue. There are American stars there, but these guys are old.
That's what I'm saying, Mo. Who is that? Who are the next? Now we all hoping it's Edwards. We all hoping it's Morant. But who is that?
Yeah, I tell you who is definitely not. It's definitely not a old boy down in New Orleans. That nigga, man, I don't know what happened with him. He might be. I can't say he's the biggest bust because there were some really big busts in the NBA before.
Yeah, he ain't Kwame Brown.
Yeah, don't let Kwame hear you say that.
Fuck that nigga. We could fight in that little bitch ass car he be in talking all that shit. That nigga be in that motherfucker Toyota Tercel. Ain't nobody worried about you, Kwame.
No, but I think him, you know, being the number one guy and what they thought he was going to be out of Duke. And then the injuries, man, like not even just, I can't even get to his play because, you know, he don't play that often. So it's like, dude, like what the fuck? Like everybody put all of this draft stock and shit into Zion Williamson. And then, you know, he hasn't played a full season yet. But I mean, to be honest, niggas don't play full seasons anymore, so what do I know?
You talk about you don't know what happened to Zion. You know what happened to Zion.
Yeah, he ski.
The power of the P-U-S-S-Y.
He done went down New Orleans and got that voodoo coochie on his ass.
Man, hey, listen, man, I thought, anyway, I ain't about to. Ooh-wee. But yeah, when them motherfuckers, you know, you going to Starlets and everywhere else, you going to King of Diamonds, you going, you know, hey, you know, you get what you ask for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not to keep lingering on this jump, but yeah, I just don't know who that next star is. So I think that's what's killing the NBA right now. Like I said, I don't have nothing on it, but I just that was just something that came to my mind when I was thinking about it. I'm just like, man, who is next?
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with that. I think, like you said, it's because I'm not going to take too much time on it because I wanted to get into one more thing before we do our 2-minute drill.
Yeah.
I think that the NBA does have to figure it out soon, and I do think it's hard to pick that next guy because you have a LeBron 39 still playing the way he's playing. You have Dame Lillard and Steph Curry. Who are the older guys that are still playing lights out. So it's like, and I guess until these guys leave the game, oh, and I'm sorry, KD. KD's another one who's an older guy that's still playing. So at a high level. So it's like, until these guys leave the game, unfortunately, we may not get that answer unless, you know, this year, because I mean, to be honest, even though Tatum is a baller and his stats show that he is, and you know, he's getting the advertisements and endorsements and shit that he should after becoming a championship and even before that, I still can't even put Tatum up there. Because then you kind of have like an identity crisis because, like, you know, everybody loves Jason Tatum, but like, you know, as everybody got to see last season, Jaylen Brown is a bona fide baller too, and they might not have won that championship run without him. So it's kind of like, who's going to be that next guy? Who's going to take that obvious big step forward? I would have loved it to be Ja Morant, but he's often injured now. I would love for it to be Anthony Edwards, but that's still yet to be seen. He knocked off some guys last year, pause, but it's got to be more convincing, I think, as far as like making a jump. I think one of the things that I just alluded to, one of the things that would help solidify a face of the league is guys playing the whole fucking season. I mean, you got players that don't play back-to-backs. You got players that get hurt and then be out for 30-something games. So it's like, if dudes could stay healthy or if dudes could play through smaller injuries, I'm not saying you should play injured because, you know, the game is different now and all of that shit. But if you can take care of your body and play at least 80 games, you know, or at least 75 games, shit, 77 games. That would make it very exciting for fans to see, like, damn, you know, this nigga's like that. Play the whole season and bust niggas ass, no homo. So I think that would help. But like you said, I'm not really sure who it is.
Tatum.
I know, but that's why I said that, bro. It's like, Tatum couldn't even get the nod from the Warriors coach in the fucking USA team. Bruh just came off of a championship run and he wouldn't even get no burn. But before we get into to the 2-minute drill, I wanted to touch on something that I seen earlier on First Take. So they were talking about college football and the college football playoff, and one of the things that they brought to mind was the importance or the lack of importance in the future of the conference championship game. Because with this new format of 12 teams playing, Lane Kiffin was cited by media reporters after his last game, and he was saying that, speaking to coaches around the NCAA, they don't really see the conference championship game being as important, because what say, you know, they get to the conference championship, especially in the SEC, places like the SEC and the Big, was it the Big 10 or the Big 12? I think they have more. Big 10? But anyhow, they have scenarios where you play the conference championship and lose, and like Georgia last year, you're out. And now you're not in the college football playoff. So it may be better to not even win the conference championship game. I mean, not even play the conference championship game, but we can't. They can't opt out of playing the game, but you understand what I mean when it comes to the parity of these situations not necessarily faring well, especially in a conference like the SEC, where they hold all the keys because they have, what, seven teams that could potentially be 10 wins going into a college football playoff where, you know, you have a couple teams with two losses could end up being kicked out or even not even making the college football playoff. So my question was, before you answer, my question was, do you think that they go away from the conference championships and expand the college football playoff, or do you think that it's still just as important?
I mean, we just got 12. Shit. I mean, can we
Stephen
enjoy
A, 12? Just to add caveat, Stephen A said he thinks that 12 isn't even enough. They're going to move to 16. And that in turn will get rid of the college football, the conference championship game, because just like the bowl games where they used to be important, now that the college football playoff is here, the bowl games aren't important anymore. So it's like, I guess to the colleges, because kids don't even want to play them. If it's not the national championship, kids are opting out of playing in these bowl games. We've seen more college football players opt out of bowl games that aren't for the chip in the last couple years because they don't want to get hurt and fuck up their NFL stock.
And that sounds cool and that sounds good. That school still is getting about $7 million to play in that bowl game. That school is still getting all the things that come with that bowl game to give to those kids. So whether it be PS5s or whoever sponsors that bowl game, they get all kind of gifts and toys and trinkets and all that other shit. So to say, and you get more practice time with your players. So for those that think that shit don't matter, if you're really a coach or you're really a fan of a team or something like that, that shit matters a lot. People that say that shit are just thinking about teams that play in the national championship.
True.
It's a reason why people fight to win six games if you can only win six games. Maryland, if you listen to Coach Locksley, he said, we playing for our lives right now. Now, they went out there and lost, but he still knew he needed those extra practices. That helps recruiting. That helps get money into your school. That helps a lot of shit. So people that just say that shit, listen, Stephen A can kick fucking rocks to me. That motherfucker once said, why don't a team kick it on third down? Because if they miss it, they can come back and kick it again on fourth down. Okay, so he act like he this big football motherfucker now because somebody be speaking into his damn ear. That motherfucker is illiterate as fuck when it comes to football. I don't want to hear none of that shit he be talking about, man. That's like me trying to talk basketball with his ass. Now I could go ahead and spit some shit, but I ain't fucking, you know what I'm saying? I know he know more than me about fucking basketball than me, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Come on, man. Let me be just talking sometime. That shit means something, man. And people could laugh and say this, that, and the third. And yeah, some of them kids dropping out, they gonna drop out and not playing in bowl games because they talented enough to where their kids are going to play in the NFL and get ready for that. Every place ain't like that, man. So to some of them players and coaches, they going from, you know what I'm saying, winning 6-7 games. How you doing? Winning 6-7 games and trying to make that next jump. Some coaches come up. Hold on one second.
You on the Wi-Fi? I mean, you on the Bluetooth?
Not bad.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on, man.
Hold on.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
I can't hear you. All right, hold on. I'll end it and come back and see what happens.